people, especially elderly people, maybe people who are younger that don't ever feel like they're the chosen one, the pretty one, the one with all the dates, or the husband early or wife late or whatever. And I felt God saying this morning that I am El Roy. I'm the God who sees you. And this was not planned, but I'll go there. Part of my testimony is that for many years I felt like a wallflower. I knew I was loved, but I didn't know I was seen. I somehow struggled with that concept. And I want to tell you, when the God of the universe says, I see you, then you are seen. And this morning, I wish I could look into each of your eyes and tell you, God sees you. He sees your struggles. He sees how hard you're trying. He sees the difficultness. I feel there's some husbands here that's really trying to be the provider, to be the savior, to be the Richard for every marriage, and you're struggling. But I feel God is saying, I see. I see you. I see the nights you stay awake praying for your family and your kids. And God says, I see. And that's what matters. Ultimately, it's that he sees. Amen. And then the last thing I felt before we're going to start, I don't have a long word, don't worry, we're not going to be here till lunch, is I felt that there's some of us with impossible situations. I think it came up also with the words after the worship, that there are some of us, whether it's a physical condition or a financial situation, I don't know what it is, but impossible. You're looking at this thing and you're saying, it's impossible. I've been struggling with this for so long, relationships, marriages, whatever it is, relationship with a child, that just feels impossible. And if that is you, I just want to pray for you before I start. If that is you, I just maybe close your eyes and just in your mind's eye, imagine putting this thing and just keeping it in front of you, this impossible situation, whatever it is that feels impossible to you. Just imagine holding it in your hand or on your lap, wherever it is. And I'm just going to pray over it. God, I know that you are here. And you say in your word, where two or more are gathered, yet you are there. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that you are here. And that you specialize in impossibilities, God. That when you are in our midst, God, the impossible becomes possible. So, Father, I pray that as we give, just in your mind's eye, just hand this, whatever it is, over to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I give it to you. I give it to you, this situation, this marriage, this financial situation, the business, the whatever, you fill in the blanks. God, this morning, Lord, we give you our impossibilities, God, and we know we can trust you because you are our Father. And our Father, I pray, God, for every single person that felt heavy as they came in, heavy with these things they are carrying, God, I speak a lightness, God. I speak for burdens to roll off shoulders right now in Jesus' name. I speak peace, God, over hearts, over minds. Speak peace over physical bodies, bodies that are struggling with a cold, that are struggling with whatever sickness, that have got pain. Father, we just speak your peace and your kingdom to come into those bodies, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, that you died for us to be whole and free and healthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to get there. So I have been reading the book of 2 Kings. So we're going to read from 2 Kings 17. It's quite a long story, very interesting story. 2 Kings 17, it is up there, but if you want to open up your Bibles, you can. So we are going to jump into the story of what happened in this stage. At this stage in the nation of Israel's history, Israel and Judah, the kingdom has actually been divided. I think it was straight after David. David was king over the whole of Israel, if I can put it like all 12 tribes. But unfortunately, because of various things, it got divided. And there was a nation of Israel, and then there was Judah. Judah was David's lineage, and they stayed in Jerusalem mainly. Jerusalem was their headquarters, if I can put it that way. And the nation of Israel, or the tribes that gathered under Israel, they stayed in the cities of Samaria, okay? And what happened at this stage in 2 Kings 17 is where we pick up the story, is the king of Assyria, they forever were making war. If you've read any of the Old Testament, you will know there was always war going on. And what happened was the king of Assyria had actually taken Israel captive. Israel were the tribes that stayed in Samaria. And he'd come in and he ruled there for 3 years. He won the war or the battle, and he ruled and reigned there for 3 years. And then after 3 years, he actually took those Israelite people and he said, I am taking you way up to the north. If you go look at the map of Israel, it was Jerusalem kind of in the middle, and then Samaria here at the top, and then way at the north is the Assyrian territories, if I can put it that way. I don't know if that's the right word. But he actually took the people that were staying, the Israelites that were staying in Samaria, and he said, you're no longer staying here. You need to go and stay there at the north in Assyria. Does that make sense? And what he did was, this king of Assyria, he actually brought people from various other nations, Babylon and so forth, and he brought them and he said, you are going to stay in Samaria, in the cities, in the towns where the Israelites stayed. Does that make sense? So he took the Israelites, he said, you're going to Samaria, and he took some other people, and he said, now you come and occupy the cities and the towns where the Israelites used to stay in Samaria. Okay, that was what the king of Samaria did. And we pick up the story in 2 Kings 17, verse 26. I'm going to read a couple of verses and then we'll explain. So now these people who the king of Samaria said, you need to come and stay in Samaria, the king of Assyria said, you need to come and stay in Samaria, they are not the Israelites. Okay, they don't know the Israelites. They used to stay way back up in the north, but the king said, you're moving, so you move, because the king is the king. Okay, so what happened was, they got there and all of a sudden they're having problems. Okay, they are living in a nation, in a town they didn't build, and they realize quickly, but something is not right. It's not the same as back home. So we're going to read verse 26. So they, which is these people from Babylon and all over that's now staying in Samaria, so they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed, that's now the Israelites, remember? The king of Assyria removed them, and placed in the cities of Samaria, they do not know the rituals of God, of the God of the land. Sorry, I said it the wrong way around. They are saying that the people you brought from Babylon and all the other nations to say they must come and stay in Samaria, they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, carrying on in verse 26, he who is God has sent lions amongst them. And indeed, they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought out from there, and let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation, or let's stop there at the end of verse 28. It's fascinating to me that these people came and lived in this land, and the New Testament says, if we're not going to cry out and worship God, the rocks will cry out. And in this case, the lions. Has anybody read this story? I must have read it a couple of times because I've been through the word a couple of times. But this, I read it the other day and I was like, what craziness. Lions were sent in amongst these people and they were killing them. The lions were eating the people. And they realized somehow the God of this land is quite a bit mightier than we are. And we need to honor the God of this land. And as I was reading this, I pondered and I kind of got stuck here for a couple of days. I've probably been stuck here for 2 weeks now, just because I think it's such a bizarre story. And I'm like, what? That, you know, it's in the ground, it feels like. God honoring all of creation wants to worship this King of Kings. And I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me so clearly and saying, who is the God of your land? Who is the God of the White House? And who is the God of your business, of your church? Who is the God of Franz Hook? Who gets the glory? And more than that, I felt him challenging me as, well, when complete strangers come into your house, come into your valley, come into Franz Hook, come into your business, you name it, will they know there's another God of this land? I might not believe, but who is the God of this land? There's a Lord here that's Lord of this land. And I was so challenged because I often think we're good at not wanting to offend people. And I feel that this we're going into the season, Richard mentioned it. I, for one, very comfortable inside the church. But going outside, and very often it's not so much, I think I've gotten over most of the fear of man. Let's just call a spade a spade. If the Holy Spirit says, go and speak to somebody in Checkers, sometimes I get the, oh, I'm going to die. By now I'm okay because I think half the people know, oh, she's the one from Shofar. She's crazy. That's okay. But you know what? The trap I fall into so often, I get busy. Like, Lord, I've got a million things to do. You know, I've got a list. I've got 3 kids. I need to get to Stellenbosch. I need to do stuff. And I felt God challenging me so, so many times the last couple of weeks. Just, are you allowing me to be the God of your land? Are you allowing me to use you so that those around you can know who the God of this valley is, who the God of the Wade House is? You see, we would love, and I would love it. I wouldn't. No. But if God would do a sovereign act, like send the lions in, I don't want him to send the lions in. I would prefer for us to do the work. I do not want God to sovereignly move. But I'm just so stirred. And you know what? One of the most beautiful psalms is Psalm 68. Abigail, Psalm 68, I put at the end of my my verses, my slides or whatever. So you can go there. I'm going to go back to 2 Kings in a minute. But Psalm 67, it says there, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Just stop there by the comma. You know, this God is a really, really good father. Okay? He wants to bless us. I'm not saying he wants us all to live in the biggest homes with the biggest cars, not wealth. Old Testament, the people were crazy wealthy. Go and just read Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. I mean, wealth was wealth. They had cattle and thousands, and I mean, it's nuts. New Testament, wealth is your soul prospers. You are well. You are at peace with who you are. Your marriage is prospering. God is saying your health is, you sleep at night. You are healthy in your body. That's wealth. In the New Testament, if God blesses you financially, nothing wrong with that. I just want us to make sure we understand that wealth and God blessing us is not just material things. But God's heart, he's saying, I'm merciful. Mercy means I don't give you what you deserve. He wants to bless you and he wants to cause his face to shine upon us. What does it look like? Just dream with me for a moment. What does it look like when the God of the universe makes his face to shine upon you and me? I can tell you what I think, although I think God is so much bigger. I think that's our kids running after Jesus. That's our kids picking the right partner, one that's also running after Jesus. Make his face shine upon me is I understand Richard every time or 9 times out of 10 when he tells me something at home, that there's less and less friction. Why? Because I understand his heart. When God's face shines upon me, it means that when he blesses me, any blessing, it has no sorrow. When we go on holiday, there is peace. We have joy in our house. There's laughter. Doesn't mean there's no difficult things, but we are able to not scatter when hardship knocks at our door, but we stick together. That's God making his face shine upon us. Making his face shine upon us. I dream and I pray for a day that you will walk in here drug addicted, struggling with whatever, sickness, cancer, and you will walk out free and heal. That's God making his face shine upon us. Those are the things I dream about. I'm like, God, I don't want to play church. I don't want to do a job. I want to see lives change because Jesus paid for it. So when he makes his face shine upon us, verse 2, that your way, the Lord's way, may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. When we look, when people see us, I believe that is what they need to see. They need to see that they have a merciful God. He is making his face shine upon us. And then if you jump back to 2 Kings 17, they will look and they will say, who is the God of that house? Who is the God of that business? What's going on there? What's going on in Franschhoek? What is it with this weird little place? But when we get there, there's a God. You know, when we were in America, there was this one shop that we used to go. We had different groceries, you know, buying food. Okay, so you go to different stores. And we went to this one store, and I told Richard, it's different here. And we got stuck at the store, and that is where we brought our groceries the whole 7 weeks we were in this town. But we quickly realized it's different. And you could feel the atmosphere. Nobody preached the gospel. Halfway through, kind of 2 weeks in, we realized, oh, we're seeing the same people at the store that we are seeing in church. And all of a sudden we realized, but we immediately, you could feel it's different here. People are friendly. It's just a different atmosphere. And you could feel it. I kid you not. We would go to another grocery. It's just groceries. Ne? Bread, milk, cheese. There's nothing fancy. It was a normal grocery store. But we walked in and all five of us felt, this is a nice store. And I wonder, what are they doing behind the scenes? What are they praying before the doors open in the morning? And I'm so convicted. Is that what people, when they encounter me in Checkers, do they go, she's got a different God. What's going on here? Tell me more. I want what you have. We spoke about Biltong the other day. Jesus said we are salt and light. If a salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless, okay, for the chefs and all the people that eat well. If we are not salty enough, people will not get thirsty. If they're around us, they should say, what do you have? I don't have. And if we don't get that, then we have to do the hard thing and look in the mirror and say, God, where did I lose my saltiness? Where did I lose my joy? It's okay. We all lose it somewhere along the line. It's okay. But I want to encourage you. That is the God of our land. That should be the natural response. I believe that's what I'm dreaming about. I'm not there yet, but I know we will. So that's the first thing. Verse 26 says, the people realized quickly they're staying in this land. They've been deported or whatever. The king said, you are moving there. They got there and they realized there's another God in this land. The second thing, we're going to jump to verse 5. Let's first read verse 29. We didn't read that one. However, every nation continued. So now the priest, they got one priest, shame, one man. I thought, yo, give a man a hard job. They got one man to come from Israel in Assyria to come and teach the people here about the Lord of the land. But now this poor man is doing his very best to teach them how to fear God. But verse 29 says, however, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. And then we jump to verse 40. It says there, it goes on, verse 30 to 40, you can go read at home. I don't have time to read all of it. But they basically explained the Babylonians did this, the Hittites did that, every nation. They were learning about God of the land because the priest had come, but at the same time, they were still continuing worshipping and doing their own thing with their own gods. And then we go to verse 40 and it says, however, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord. So they did listen to the priest. They feared the Lord because they knew the lions came. Okay? It was real. The lions came and killed the people. So they knew, I have to fear the Lord of the land. But then at the same time, it says, yet they served their carved images, don't get Richard. Also, their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. You know, when I got saved when I was probably 13 or 14, standard 5 back then. But I got spirit-filled and really started being discipled when I was 19 years old, first year at Varsity here in Stellenbosch. And I remember the very first, one of the first things, like we do here, that they asked me when I started attending the church there, is they said, on Wednesday evenings, we've got small group. We meet together. You know how we do it. We come together. We pray together. We do that. And I remember speaking to this small group leader who was the small group leader in our residence. I was in a ladies' res there. And she explained all of this to me. And I said, that's fine. I don't mind coming, but that's Wednesday, and Wednesday evenings is Klein Vrijdag, you know, Small Friday. So for students, a Wednesday was a thing. And I remember telling her, I do not have a problem. I would love to come. If I don't have something better to do, I'll come. And I honestly, it wasn't a bad intention at all. And praise God, it very soon changed. When I think back, am I fine with this thing? When I think back of those days, I'm embarrassed to say that I did not get who King Jesus was. That the King of the universe does not fit into our lives. I tried to say, God, I want to follow you, but you need to fit into my schedule. And you need to fit into my life. And if my diary allows it, then I'm not saying you have to go to small group. Please don't hear me. It's a heart attitude. It's a heart thing that says, God, if I have time and there's not a party that's more exciting or whatever, then I will do what you want me to do. And God sorted that thing out pretty quickly by saying, do you know who this king is? You are no longer in a democracy. You are in the kingdom. I don't fit into your world and your schedule. When you come into the kingdom, I am Lord. And if I'm not Lord of all, I'm not Lord at all. And I remember struggling with that, but only struggling for as long as when I saw, he's not my playmate. And I remember Pastor Fred, daar gaat die kind, die kleinkie, of daar kom 'n ma. And I remember Pastor Fred preaching a sermon saying, he's not your playmate. He's not your friend. Yes, he is your friend, but he can only be your friend as far as his lordship over you has been established. And I remember being like, I still remember it was in the high school hall on a Sunday evening. And I remember realizing, oh my goodness, I have been treating the God of the universe as my playmate. As God, you fit into my schedule. What I will take this, and that's what happened with these nations. It says they wanted to fear, and they realized I need to fear God, but they still had their own things going on the side. They still worship to the other gods. And I want to ask you today, I want to plead with you, not because we're head of the church, not because we're the pastor, not because of anything. He's so good. He's so, so good. I often tell my kids, when God says no, when he says, one of the girls asked me, is it wrong, Mom? Oh, it was Christina. That was a beautiful Friday night conversation. Mom, why is it wrong to have sex before you married? Friday night, lacking, eh? So I was like, woo, here we go. I thought we're just laying in bed, the light is off. And I said to her, the reason is God loves you. I'm not going to try and explain that to you. If you're struggling with that, come afterwards. I'll explain it to you. But the bottom line is, it took me half an hour. She eventually only went to bed at 9:45. But it took me time to explain to her, when God says no, it's not because he's a spoiled sport. It's because he's so good. And he loves you so much. And he knows what is good for you. And he can see it all from beginning to end. So when you feel God is saying something, when it's struggling to obey, I want you to go back to the nature of God. He's a really, really good father. Psalm 67 says, he wants the people to look and to see, I made my face shine upon my kids. I am merciful. I want to bless them. That's what I want them to see. And that will, Psalm 67 actually says there, they will, your salvation, people will be saved because of how blessed you are, not because you have a lot of money, but because they're saying, that God, what's going on in that house, I want that. Who's the God of that land? That's the God we serve. And that is why God is saying, when you're in the kingdom, come all in. It's good for you. It's good for you. But we get tempted, and very often I find myself, oh my goodness, I've got one foot back. I've got one foot back. I've got one foot. Oh God, I'm a little bit distracted. I've got a weakness. I love reading books. Okay? Terrible weakness. But I get consumed in this book. I love it. I read the book and I'm in it. I can go through the night to my husband's despair and utter, what's wrong with you that you read till 5:00 in the morning? I just love it. I don't fall asleep. I love reading. But I find myself often, even 2 weeks ago, I read a beautiful, amazing, interesting book. felt God saying, can you put the book down when I whisper? Can you put it down and turn aside to the burning bush? And that's where it's a hard thing. And I want to encourage us all, you know where you are at. Let's not be a people trying to fit God into our schedule, into our world, but say, God, I want all of you. I want all of you. You know, I get the question quite often since we're back. Firstly, I get the question, what was one of your highlights? We trained the kids because when we got back, especially Christina, got very much overwhelmed with all the questions, all the hugs, all the what did you do? So she got actually a little bit rude once or twice. So we had to speak to her and we trained them and we said, thank you. It was very nice. What was your favorite? Christina, pick your favorite. Disney World. Okay, Disney World. Thank you. I enjoyed it. You know, so she had a couple of answers so that she could be released to go play as soon as people are done speaking to her. But I get the same question. Sometimes you have to help your kids, guys. It's difficult when adults come. it's a lot of pressure. But I get the question often, what was my highlight? For those who don't know, we went on a three-month sabbatical. And I think the highlight for me, yes, we saw amazing things, met amazing people. But I realized there's more. There's more of Jesus. There's more, and you don't need many people. I got the question again yesterday, but don't you miss the bigger church? Don't you want to be in the bigger church? No, I do not. Nothing wrong with the bigger church. Why do I not? Because the Lord King Jesus said, you are in Franschhoek. That is where you need to make a difference. That is where you need to love the people. And I'll tell you, open and honestly, when we went, that was a big thing the Lord spoke to me. I remember one night coming home. After I was at church, Richard was at home with the kids. We were in America. I got home. I said, my love, I'm sorry. Because the Lord has shown me in my heart, I've been going through the motions for a couple of months, but my heart has been disengaging. My heart has been, it's okay. We just, you know, I love the people, but not all of them. I love that. I don't love this. I like that about Franschhoek, not this. And I will forever remember where I sat in that church, in the worship, where God spoke to me and he said to me so clearly, he said, I want you to be engaged and I want you to love with all your heart. And I said, God, it's sometimes difficult because sometimes you get hurt. And he said, that is why the cross. That is why I went to the cross. There is healing. There is no excuse. Sometimes God is a little bit more direct with me, maybe not with all of us, but sometimes that's what we need. I said, God, it's difficult. I said, I know, but that's why Jesus died. So get your healing, come and get healed up, and go and do what I've called you to do. Go and love the people and don't love them half-heartedly. Go and love Franschhoek, but don't do it with the mindset that one day we'll be out of here and we're going to live in some icy bitty CNE. No, we are all in. The last story I'm going to tell you is when I worked at R&B, you guys know the story, many of you, but I felt to share it this morning again. I worked at Rand Merchant Bank, a private bank, for 12, 13 years, I can't remember. The last 7 years, I worked under a man, very godly, amazing guy, Skalk van Rienen, and I used to have to do his work for him, meaning I do the analysis, the spreadsheets, and he goes to the clients and see the clients. And I remember in that time, God speaking to me and saying, can you serve another man's vision? I'm not going to release you to do your own thing until you can serve his vision. And I would say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to do all the work. I'm not going to back chat and say, I don't think that's really necessary. It's unnecessary to do all that work. We can just do this. And as soon as I got that under control, because I enjoy my mouth. I enjoy trying to make you understand why that is unnecessary work. And I felt God saying, zip your lip and serve this man. That's what I want you to do. So I managed to shut up and serve him, and if he says, can I have these analyses and that, I would say, yes, of course, no problem, I'll do the work. And then a couple of months, it could be years, because it took a while, and it's still taking a while to get our characters in line with what God wants, I felt God saying, can you do it with a good attitude? And I was like, holy crap, I've been doing all this work, I've been quiet, I haven't said anything, Lord. And God is saying, I want your heart, I want your heart to be right. Skalk will, I said, he will not see a difference. I do it with a smile. But you see, God sees our hearts. And I kid you not, I worked for 7 years for him. And I think that is why we can work together. Because Paul Skolk got all of it. But God had to shape me. And I felt that same loving, reprimanding voice when I was in this worship service in America 2 months ago. Him saying, I don't want you to just love and go through the mechanics. I want you to love with all your heart. I want you to lean in. And I got home and I apologized to Richard and I said, you don't even know it, but I know my heart has been disengaging. And I said, I'm sorry, because I'm supposed to help you and my heart is not 100% or wasn't 100% in it. And I can tell you, it is not always easy, not because you guys are amazing, but our lives are not always easy. Our kids are supposed, I know they're supposed to be in Stellenbosch in school, so it makes driving up and down craziness. Our kids do many things, so we are up and down. There's a lot of things going on. Franschhoek is a unique place. There's no hospital, for instance. You know, I'm like, how do you not have a hospital? There are so many things I don't understand about this little town, but I know that I know that I know that God has called me here. God has called us here. And I know that God is saying he wants to be the Lord in this valley. And that is why we're doing uncomfortable things, not because I want to, but because he is Lord. And this is not my life. This is not my life anymore. And you see, God is our Heavenly Father and he is our friend. But first and foremost, he is Lord. And if we need to try and get that straight, he is not Lord and rugby and some addiction and social media. You fill in whatever it is. He's saying he is Lord. And once you come into his kingdom, it's all or nothing. So I want to encourage you, if this morning, I'm going to finish the last thing now. If you are struggling with this thing, I want to encourage you, it starts here. It starts by understanding that I am no longer my own. And I'm in a kingdom where there is a king. And he loves me very much. But we are in his kingdom. And the last thing I want to say is verse 41. Maybe we can put it up there. Abigail, I close my Bible. But it says there, also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. And you know, that is the thing that really, it really is heavy on me. Whether you have natural children or not, what the precedent you are setting, your life matters. And I think that's why the you are seen is so important. Because you see, some of us believe that, my life doesn't matter. I just raise a couple of kids, or I just go to this work, or I'm not even married. And God is saying your life matters because it's an intergenerational legacy you are leaving. Whether you want to believe it or not, what you are doing is going to echo in eternity. What movie is that? That is the truth. That's a biblical principle. It's going to echo. Your children and your children's children. And I want to say that as an encouragement. For some of you, you're only one that's maybe saved, or you're just one that's really both feet in the kingdom. And I feel God is saying, you are one, but you can make a difference. You can make a difference. And your children's children. And I want to leave this little town one day when we are called somewhere, or maybe I'll die right here, which is very fabulously fine with me as well. And I want to know that in heaven for generations to come, I want to meet people that say, because of you, our family was different. In Franschhoek, that was different because you were there. Not because I'm special, but because I serve a God who can do the impossible. But God is saying, I need all of you. I need you to be all in, because I want to do the amazing, the impossible through your life, and you can make a difference for generations to come. You see, the enemy says, it's not really that important. Nobody's going to know. It's behind closed doors. It's just you and your computer or whatever your weakness is. Fill in the blank. It's just you and the chocolate or you and the wine bottle. But God is saying, no, you don't get it. Your life matters. And there's an impact. So I'm hoping I don't come across too harsh. I'm not at all. My heart is for us to realize that we can make a change. Not because we want a big church, not because we want this or that, but because we serve a God who loves this valley, and who's saying through your life, I want to make a change. I want to make an impact. Does that make sense? All right. So Richard, can you guys come sing something? You can pick anything. I felt this to respond while the worship team comes up. I want to, maybe you can just close your eyes for a moment. This morning, I'm not going to get you to stick up your hand at all, but I do want us to just for a moment, just consider, just think about, God, are you really the Lord of my land? Are you really the Lord of my house? God, am I all in, or is there maybe an area that you're saying, I want you to surrender that because I really love you? So maybe just close your eyes and ask God, is there an area that you want me to surrender? And for some of you, God is saying, you're doing so well. I'm so proud of you. Please go and encourage those around you. Please go and share the gospel. Please go and love on your neighbor. God, our hearts are to serve you. God, we don't want to play church. We want to know you, God. We want to be used by you, God. We want to do everything that you have planned to do through our lives, God. We want to say yes and amen to God. We say we are all in. This morning, God, we just declare we are all in. Use us. Use everything about us. If you need 2 hands, I've got 2. If you need 2 feet, I've got 2. God, come and use us in whichever way you want to use us. Come and transform our hearts, Lord, that it's a joy, it's a pleasure, that your kingdom, Lord, your kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that your kingdom will come in every area of our lives, in every area of Franschhoek, God, that your kingdom will come in every single house, Lord, right standing with you, righteousness, God, peace in relationships, Father, joy in our homes, God. In our businesses, God, may it be said that the God of Franschhoek, who is this God of Franschhoek? What's going on in that town? I want to know the God of Franschhoek because your face is shining upon us. So I want to encourage you. We're going to take just 2 minutes. And I want to ask you just to share with somebody next to you before we're going to end with a worship song. If God has shown you one thing, sometimes it just helps to say it out loud. We're all struggling. But whatever the Lord has shown you, just in 2 minutes, maybe share with your friend next to you. Just so sometimes it helps to say it out loud. We're all on this journey together. So let's take 30 seconds, 1 minute, and just share. You don't need to explain everything. Just share, this is what I feel God showed me. And then we're going to end. Is that good? Okay, so you can turn to each other. We've got another 30 seconds left, so make sure the other person also gets a turn. Right, amen. I just want to extend the invitation. If you are here and you're saying, I don't even know who this Jesus is, I've walked away or I don't have a relationship with him, then I want to encourage you to come to me or Richard afterwards, and we would love to pray for you. Pray with you. We would love to introduce you to the King of Kings. Amen. So if that is you, if you realize I need prayer, I need somebody to just walk this road with me, please come to the front afterwards.